Stay closer.
No, it's fine. They're going to come. It's whatever. Okay, 1054 to the V. Pasik Ches. No, I'm sorry. Pasik Yud. We got to Pasik Yud. Okay, last things we were learning about Amin Amayev coming into the Jewish nation and Edom coming into the Jewish nation. Amin Amayev can never come into the Jewish nation, but that's only the male, not the female. And Edom the third generation could come. The Egyptians, the third generation could come. Okay, now the Torah speaks about going to war. The Torah says like this, Kisei Tzimachana Leivach, just to give an introduction to the concept of war. Rashi quotes in the Gemara why it's very important to follow the din about purity and holiness that the Torah is going to talk about. When the Jews went to battle, unlike other nations of the world, that they relied on their own personal strength and personal numbers, but Jews know that Hashem Yilochem Lochem, Hashem fights for the Jewish people.
Amen.
So therefore, it is a dangerous time. It's called Derech Sakone. It's a time of war, it's a dangerous time. And therefore the Jews need to make all the proper vessels for godliness to rest upon them, because there is a rule in Halacha, the Rashi quotes a few times in Chumash, Satan mekatreg b'shasa sakone. At the time of danger, the Satan likes to prosecute, because it's a dangerous situation. So any little thing you do wrong, the Satan is already there to say, okay, so just kill him already, let's kill him up. So the Torah here is speaking about two types of battle. First, the Torah is speaking about the simple battle, Jews go to war, you have to be careful, mikol dovid up. You shouldn't have any evil things in the time of the war. And we're going to discuss, the Torah itself discusses what the evil things are. Okay? Basically, as the Mefarshim explained, what does it mean, Nishmartim Idovera? You shouldn't commit idolatry, and murder. Because it sounds like this.
Davar is complete everything?
Yeah, it includes, because the way Goyim used to fight, as we know, you know, when the Goyim have their permission to kill, so they plunder, they kill innocent people, they'll rape innocent people, they'll do all these types of things, they'll steal, they'll do all these things because they have permission to kill, so they don't care, they'll kill a few more here and there, innocent people, civilians, as we know, the animals in the world today do that also, they kill civilian people, and they plunder. So the Torah says, Mikol Davara, from any bad thing, that's the simple meaning of it, Mikol Davara, from anything which is bad. Another thing the Mefarshim explained interestingly, what does Davar Ra mean? Dibur Ra.
Yeah.
Evil language. Davar simply means bad things. You have to stay from away from the bad thing. But Davar Ra also means deep. Why don't you come in? Yeah, you. Oh. But davara also means dibara, which means bad words. It says you have to be extremely careful, especially for lashon hara and those types of things. You're putting it on?
He said good morning, that's good.
Yes.
Okay, just for the... One second.
Start over.
For the what?
Recap.
No, it's on?
Yes, yes.
Doesn't show it. Oh. Okay, just to recap, when page 1054, Baruch of Gimel Pasuk Yud. Okay, the Torah speaking, you go to war on your enemies, because the Jew knows that God is the one that's fighting for us, we're not fighting for ourselves, so therefore you need to make sure there shouldn't be any dover or any bad things. We said idolatry, stealing, all the things that people normally do at the time of war. But it also means mikol davara, like we just said, mikol dibara. It shouldn't be any evil language when you go to page 1054. When a person goes to war, they have to be extremely careful in the language. And again, the reason for this is because, and they quote many stories in Tanakh, there are many great people, and in the time of David HaMelech, the Gemara says, a lot of people were killed in the wars of David HaMelech. On David HaMelech's side, even though there were great learned people and everything else, but they didn't have unity. And Lashon Hara evil tongue and all that, slander and all that, gossip and all that, is what causes the lack of unity amongst the Jewish people. So therefore, when people went to war, like it says in the last Mishnah of the entire Mishnah, that the only vessel for peace is, I mean, the only vessel for God's blessing is peace amongst the Jews. So when Jews go to war and they're having Hashem fight for them, and it's a dangerous situation, so therefore the ultimate thing is, Mikol Dover, they have to be very careful, and especially Lashon Hara, the commentaries explain, because that breaks the unity of the Jewish people. Another thing over here, Kiseitze Machane Alei Vecho, again, like we learned at the beginning of Parshas Kiseitze, the Torah doesn't say, Im Eivecho, with your enemy. Say, go to war with your enemy. Alei Vecho means on your enemy. So what does it mean? So he said then also, what's very important is the morale at the time of war. So the Torah says, Kiseitze Machane, when your camp is going out to fight, your attitude has to be Alei Vecho. You're going to conquer them. You're going to win. You're on top of the enemies. You're not going to let the enemy win you. And before we continue further, but the Mefarshim explain that this also refers, the Aruch Haim HaKadosh explains, this also goes on the personal war of a person with his own Yetzer Hara. It doesn't only mean you go to war against your enemies. We have the internal enemy within the Jew. I'm going to get the Yisrael smack. So it says, Kiseitze Machane Alei Vecho, when a person goes out to war, number one, they have to realize when you go fight the Yetzer Hara, your attitude has to be, I will conquer him. I will not allow him to conquer me, I will conquer him. Alei Vecho. But the Torah says you have to be very careful from all the evil things. We call Davara from anything that the Yetzer Hara, you have to be extremely careful. Okay, so the Torah says like this. In fact, the Mefarshim explain that at the time of war, it's interesting, the commentators explain, the time of war, Jews are supposed to really set times to study Torah. Like it says, Yosef, even when he was in Egypt, what he always did was he always had times to learn Torah for Tifer's house. He kept constantly reviewed everything Yaakov Avinu taught him. That's how he didn't forget his learning for 22 years. So you have to be extremely careful when you go fight your own Yetzer Hara. Okay? In fact, they bring down a story here that there was a Jewish soldier that was soldier in a Goyish army. And one time was a Goyish holiday. So the Jew went to the Goyish general and asked him if he can have the day off, because it's a holiday anyway, so if he can have the day off. But it was a Goyish holiday. And what did he do? He went to his thing and he was learning the whole day. And finally the guy came to him and he says, the general came and he said, he's learning Torah. He says, I thought you wanted to have a day because you wanted to go and enjoy yourself for the day. So he says, no, this is the day I wanted to learn Torah because that's my ultimate joy is when I study Torah. Right. So that was my vacation. My vacation was being able to study Torah. So he said that when a Jew goes to war, they need to have designated times to learn Torah. There's a very interesting thing. There's certain rabbinic mitzvahs that the halacha is you don't have to do at the time of war. For instance, it says you don't have to do netila before bread. In the time of war, the chacham said, because you're going to go to get water, it's dangerous. The time of war, you're constantly on guard. So one of the things, so the story about a chassid went into the Rebbe's in the Korean War, in the earlier years of the Rebbe's leadership. And the Rebbe told him that he should be extremely careful, even though halachically he didn't have to, he should be extremely careful in washing for bread. He was drafted to the Korean War, a Jew. He came to the Rebbe for bracha. The Rebbe said, you should be extremely careful in washing the tilas yadayim. And he went to battle during the Korean War, and one time they were walking, and they came time for lunch. And he remembered there was no water where they were. They remember like a half a mile back there was water. So this from soldier said he has to wash, even though he didn't have to, but the Rebbe told him to be careful. So he went back to wash the tilas yadayim. When he came back, he saw they were all killed. They threw a hand grenade and they were all killed. And what saved him was the fact that he left to wash his hands for Netilas Yadayim, even though he didn't have to. So it says that you have to be very careful.
Excuse me, I would like to know what it was referring to when you said bad language.
Foul language, gossip.
Yeah, but when it comes to war with your own Yetzirah,
yeah.
Is that a reference to one's own Yetzirah, that one should not get into a verbal mind battle, verbal with the Yetzirah? Is that what you're referring
Yeah, you don't waste your time arguing with the Yetzirah. You just do what you gotta do and ignore the Yetzirah. That's what it says. Okay. Now, another interesting thing, because, no, so now it says like this. The question over here is, the soldiers that went to war, we learned already in the past, were tzaddikim. The Gemara says, well, the B.A.C. says, when the Torah says a person who is weak-hearted, should a coward, basically go home. So the Gemara says, he's afraid of the sins that he did. Because when you go to war, like we said before, you need a lot of merits. You need a lot of schusim. And this person sinned, and he's afraid he's gonna... So that person is afraid of his sins, should go home. So basically, went to war? The holy people went to war. They weren't afraid of their sins that they had. So they asked, what's it mean, v'nishmartim kol davarah? You're talking about holy people. So what, like, what evil are you talking about? So they explain what it means like this. He's speaking bad, but he means it l'shem shemayim. He means it for the sake of God. In other words, he says, this and this guy is really not such a tzaddik. He shouldn't be going with us. So he means it good. He means it well. But the bottom line is, the Torah said, mikol davara. Even if you think it's holy, but if it's evil, you have to be careful not to say it, even though you mean it l'shem shemayim. Okay, so now the Torah gives examples. If you'll be a man that will have an emission of Zerah seed, which makes him impure at night, he should leave the camp. He shouldn't come to within the camp. So there's a positive mitzvah of going out of the camp, and there's a negative mitzvah of not coming into the camp. But the Mefarshim explain, so Rashi says, it's a positive mitzvah and a negative mitzvah. So if a person's tamei and he doesn't leave the camp at the time of war, that's simply the pasuk means, he's doing a sin, positive sin, negative. The Torah says go out and don't come into the camp. But from here the Gemara learns out that a person who's tamei of a bodily impurity, whether it's Zava, Kari, Nida, whatever, the bodily impurities of a person, they're not allowed to go, and the Torah uses two expressions, go out of the camp, and you cannot come into the camp. So obviously the Torah is speaking about two camps. So there's, in the Jews in the Midbar, like they explain, there was Machne Shechina, and there was Machne Leviya. Okay? There was, In the place of the Mishkan was Machne Shechina, and the place around it was called Machne Leviya, which today would be Har Abayis is Machne Shechina, and Yerushalayim would be Machne Leviya. So in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, a person had to go out from those places. He had to go out, like the Mefarshim explain.
Is blood is tummy or not?
Blood? Only blood of a dead body is tummy. I mean, a woman is neither. But blood?
What does that have to do with Kari and the Yetzirah? I'd like to know how it
is. We'll get there in a minute.
Thank you. Sorry, Lord.
Okay, so it says like this. So therefore he's going out to two things. He cannot go into Machne Leviya, and he definitely cannot go into Machne Shechina, which was inside the Beis Hamikdash. Then the din was, we're going to learn a few psukim and explain this whole din over here. In the evening, towards evening, he should go to the mikvah. Yechaz b'moyim, when the Torah says wash, he means mikvah. When the sun sets, then he can come back into the camp. Meaning like this, there are a lot of tumis that the, you tevel during the day, the caddy or the an emission of a seed or all these other azov, not azov neither, but they were tevel during the day. They still cannot come into the Beis Hamikdash or into Machne Levi until the night. In other words, they were called Tful Yom. Tful Yom means they traveled, they went to the mikveh during the day, but they cannot re-enter the camp until at night. They cannot eat korbanos, they cannot eat truma, they cannot eat, you know, all those things that tummy dick people are not allowed to eat. So the Torah says like this, closer to the evening, you should travel, and then, afterwards, when the night comes, meaning when the sun sets, then you can come back into the camp. When time in the Beis Hamikdash, you can go back into the Beis Hamikdash.
Rabbi, the what? Mishkan, they carry it in the wall also? They go in the wall, they carry it?
No, they took out one Arden, one of the arks, not the Arden of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There was another Arden that they took out to battle. That they took out to battle. But the Mishkan didn't go to battle. Mishkan was in the camp.
So why they say you need to be Tavur or something?
When? By battle? No, the Torah says the camp, because again, it's God's camp. They need the presence of God to win the war. Hashem says anybody who's impure should just leave the camp and go to the mikveh that night, and they come back. They just come back into the camp. To answer your question, the Gemara says that a person should not do things during the day or see things during the day that will bring them to impurity at night. So, see things they shouldn't be seeing that will cause them to have a carry or things like that. So it says that when a person's fighting the Yetzirah, also anything which is impure has to be removed from the Jewish camp. Okay? There's a Sikha from the Rebbe, also in the first years, it's a printed Sikha, this rabbi came to the Rebbe in the Yechidus, in the audience, and he says to the Rebbe that Sunday morning, there's on television, there's a church service, and he listens to the priest's sermon, because it gives him good ideas how to speak. The priest is a good speaker, so he gives good ideas. The rabbi gets good ideas from the priest, how he should speak. So the Rebbe was saying that years ago, people would not walk by a church. People wouldn't go come closer. And here they're bringing the church into the home. They're bringing the church into the home. That's what it says. The person should not have impure things in their home, so to speak, that would allow all these impurities, spiritual impurities I'm talking about, for things to happen. And yeah, you have to immerse in the mikveh and purify yourself and so on and so forth. Okay, but now the Torah goes into another interesting concept about war.
I don't understand, again, what does that... If you have carry, what does that mean, not bringing it inside the house?
I'm saying there's certain things that bring a person to come to that concept of carry. Seeing things they shouldn't be seeing, hearing things they shouldn't be hearing.
Constantly being bombarded left and right.
Okay, so that's a person has to have a holy camp. That's why we'll soon see about your ears. 1 second. V'yati, and now the Torah is going, another interesting thing. It's going to sound very... In the olden times, they didn't have bathrooms, right? So the, what?
But the impure person had to wait for the midnight to...
Not midnight. As soon as the sun set.
So, there's a reason for it, or...?
No, Torah says, you tummy for that day. You tummy for that, you don't have to wait 7 days. You tummy that day, you have to go to the mikveh, and you have to wait until the end of the
when
day.
When they say, inside the camp, does that mean that you should not come to the synagogue?
No. Then you'd have no minion in any show. All the shows would be empty.
How about if the person doesn't go to the mikveh? He's still really...
In the time of the war, they were not allowed to be in the... They were transgressing a positive and negative mitzvah. They had to go... In the time of the Beis Hamikdash, they had to go to mikveh.
If the person didn't go...
If he didn't go, then he was tummy. If he ate the korban, if he ate kachim, he went into the Beis Hamikdash, he would get killed.
For how long would be tummy?
It depends what type of tumor. Certain tumors are 7 days, some are 1 day. Depends which tumors.
But in order to get rid of the tumor, it has to go to the mikveh. Right?
There is no way of getting rid of any tumor without mikveh. You could be tumah for 100 years, you're still tumah until you go to the mikveh. So the mikveh is the only thing that actually removes the impurity of the person. That's it. No, you also had mikveh, but in addition to that, you had the eifer, the part aduma. Okay, anyway, coming back to this point. So now the Torah says like this. When they went to the bathroom in the camp, so the Torah says you need to have, we'll soon learn the details, you need to have a shovel to dig a hole in the ground, and then you go to the bathroom, and then you cover it up with a shovel. In other words, you need to make sure that there should be no filth, no uncleanliness in the camp at all. In God's camp, there can only be holiness. And in a spiritual sense, we can understand it in a personal level. We need to get rid of all the garbage. But it says like this, V'yati alacham, here it yad does not mean a hand, it means a place. You should have outside of the camp. V'yati tzasas shomer chumetz, you should go out to the, you know, outside the camp. V'yasei tia lacha al azeinecha, you should have a shovel in addition to the other weapons that you have. One of the weapons they carried in Jewish war was a shovel. It didn't have to be a massive shovel, but a little shovel that they had to be able to dig, like it says, "V'ha'yeh b'shivta chachutz," where you want to use the facilities, "V'chafarta ba," you dug with it, and then "V'shafta," you did your thing, "V'chisisa esayasach," and then you covered your excrement, you covered what you did. In other words, there has to be, like the puzzle is going to say in a second, it has to be something very pure in the Jewish camp. But the commentaries explain a beautiful thing over here. Yosid, normally, here it's defined as a shovel. But Yosid also is like a pick. So simply, the Yosid tia lecha al azeinecha means, azeinecha, your weapons, you should have, in addition to the other weapons, you need a shovel. But the Mefarshim explain, your fingers are like a pick, and azeinecha means your ear. It says that the continuation, like you said before, but not listening, lashon hara, all that. God made fingers that they fit very well into the ear. That when somebody is speaking lashon hara, it's interesting, all the main parts of the body, the eyes, all the sources of sin, the eyes, the ears, the mouth, all have covers. All have covers. You can close your eyes, you can close your mouth. But some people you don't know how that's possible.
Yeah.
And then the ears, the Torah said, "V'yasei tia lecha al azeinecha." Yasei is the fingers, what looks like this pick. They put in. So Mefarshim explained that's what it means, al azeinecha, that you should have to cover your eyes. I mean your ears, that you shouldn't hear anything wrong. But besides that, there was also actually a positive mitzvah. That the person had to have this additional stuff and do his thing.
Can you explain lashon hara for a moment, please? What is that exactly?
What it means?
Yeah. Like what?
Bad about people.
Bad about
people. Even if it's true.
What if it's not bad, but it's a joke? Not a joke, but would that be considered?
If it's hurtful, yeah.
All right.
Because, and it's relevant over here also, what he says about covering your ears, because the Gemara says, we learned this in the past, the Gemara says that lashon hara hurts three people.
Yourself,
the talker hurts. No, you don't drop dead. Kills you spiritually. It says the talker, the listener, and the one they're talking about.
This is not fair.
Not fair. You're right, it's not fair, but the bottom line is, people should think when I'm speaking lashon hara, it even hurts the guy I'm talking about. Mm. Why is that? Okay, I understand the talker and the listener.
Yeah.
The talker is saying it. If there's no listener, there's no talker. You don't talk to lashon hara to the walls. It's no fun, right? If you pick up a phone and don't dial a number and talk lashon hara, it's no enjoyment whatsoever. You need somebody listening to it. Okay, and then adding commentaries on it. That's the enjoyment. But Nebuch, the poor guy they're talking about, why is he hurt by this? Why should he suffer because two people decided to talk bad about him? So Rabbeinu Yain and the Gemara in Erechin explains, because speech is a revealing power. Speech reveals your mind, your feelings. Speech is thought,
opening.
Is hidden.
Opening.
Speech opens things up. Many times, people have bad, bad qualities, bad traits. But it's hidden. It's not out in the open. When somebody talks about your bad traits, they come out into the open even by you. Even within you, they come out in the open. So you get hurt by it because your bad traits are also coming now out into the open. So it affects everybody that listens to it. So the Torah is saying over here, the Mefarshim explained, they call this the Gemara in Ksubas, by the way, that the fingers should be ala zeinecho, eizen, your ear, that whenever you go, you should make sure to cover your ears. And that's why even it says in Sfarim, this part of the ear lobe, is very soft. That's it. She said to push it in with your finger to close up the ear. The mouth, no, you think about it. Hashem made the mouth, the nose, you can't close. I mean, you can put it like this, but it's not made to close.
You don't make a scene.
Huh? No, because what are you going to smell bad? I mean, like, but seeing and listening and talking are the agents of sin. So Hashem made each one of those things with the ability to close.
That's the three monkeys.
The three monkeys. Okay, so it says like this. Pasuk Tezvav. Hashem alakecha misalich. Why is all this necessary? Hashem alakecha misalich mekerv machanecha, because God is going in your camp. La'atzilcha, to save you. V'lase seivecha lefanecha, to put your enemies before you. This is what Hashem is doing. Hashem is putting all the enemies before you. Therefore, v'hoya machanecha kodesh, your camp has to be holy. V'liya b'cho erves David, there shouldn't be no shameful things within you. V'shav me'acharecha, and Hashem will turn away from you. In other words, a person needs to be able to have God in his home. I don't mean the home, your edifice, your structure. I'm saying the personal, inside the person. The Torah says you can't have any. If you want to have anything, go outside the camp. Any impure should be outside of you. It shouldn't be inside of you. And therefore, all these things, you should go out of the camp. If you're impure, get out of you. Don't leave it in the holy structure of the person's body. So Hashem is always going with the camp and to save you and to give your enemies, which refers to the Yetzer Hara also. And the camp, you have to be holy. So because, meaning, as the Mefarshim explained, what does it mean? Your camp should be holy. Your mind should be full of Torah thoughts. Therefore, it's brought down in Sfarim that I've emphasized this many times. There's a Gemara in Kedushin that says, "In pagel boch menuvel zeh, if this despicable guy meets you, meaning the Yetzer Hara, mashchei lebeis hamedrash, schlep him to a shul or yeshiva. If he's stone, you'll melt him. If it's metal, you'll bust him." In other words, whenever the Yetzer Hara comes into the person, which begins, by the way, in the mind, Gemara says the eyes and the heart, ha'ayin raya, the eye see, ba'alev chomet, and the heart desires. Okay, therefore you have to be very careful with the eyes, because that's the initial sin, is what you see. So it says that a person has to be extremely careful in what they're seeing, because that is where it all begins. So therefore, if a person has Torah knowledge in the head, so as soon as the Yetzer Hara starts up with him to get him to think negative thoughts, so you get rid of it by thinking good thoughts, because you can't think two things at the same time. So how do you get rid of a bad thought? By thinking a good thought. It says in Sfarim, you can't harp on trying to elevate the evil thoughts that are in your head. That's not going to work. The only way of doing it is by thinking good thoughts, then automatically the evil thoughts go away. In other words, you don't fight darkness with darkness. You fight darkness with light. So when you bring light in, the darkness automatically becomes dispelled.
What if you don't know Torah?
Today there's no excuse. There's so much Torah in any language, in any way you want. Any part of Torah in any language in the world.
But does it just have to be Torah thoughts, or can it be just any other thoughts?
No, if it's not Torah, it's not good.
What if it's music?
It depends what type of music.
Soft music.
You can have holy music, you can have sinful music. Acher became an unbeliever. Gemara says a few things. Gemara said one of the things was he used to listen to Greek music, which was rooted in Avodah Zarah. used to listen to Greek music, and it had an influence on him. Okay, next pasuk.
What's the relation of the eyes and lip?
Because what in English there's an expression, out of sight, out of mind. If you don't see it, you don't want it.
So which one is more important? Eyes.
The eyes are first.
Why
what do we say in Shema? But the Gemara says first to ayin roya, balev chomed.
In Shema is reversed.
I know, because the Torah is speaking. How do you not get turned away your heart by not seeing? The Torah says the main thing, your heart shouldn't turn away from Hashem. So how do you get there? By seeing what you shouldn't be seeing.
Excuse me, ladies. I'm sorry if I'm...
How about men?
Men as well.
Oh, okay.
Like, if you go to the gym and you see you're surrounded by other individuals, how is it that you can prevent yourself from seeing?
One way you go, you go to an all-male gym.
In a private...
Private trainer.
Is that what it means?
Yeah. Okay, next pasuk. Lisaskid evid al adainov. This refers to like this. You're not allowed to return to his master, a slave, that ashinasa lachmiyam adainov. Now, the question over here, what type of slave are we talking about? So there's a big discussion in the Gemara about this. Okay, bottom line is like this. What happened is, slaves, here he brings down like this. And during the time of war, many slaves in prison would try to escape. Okay? The Torah commands the Yidden that such escapees must be given the freedom permitted to settle where they wish in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Meaning, as he brings down from the Ramban, this is a whole long Ramban over here. The Ramban says that a person wants freedom from idolatry, they want freedom from their goyishkeit, you have to give them the opportunity to be able to be in Eretz Yisrael and deal with Kedusha. But there's a whole question over here, is this referring to a Jewish slave or a non-Jewish slave? Some Mepharshim learn that this refers to a Jewish slave that was sold to a non-Jew. They were sold to a non-Jew and escaped from the non-Jew. And therefore, the din is allowed to give him back to the non-Jew. Why? Because when the Jew is in the place of the non-Jew, he's a slave by a non-Jew, he can't keep mitzvahs properly. And a Jewish slave is a full-fledged Jew. So you can't do it. So therefore, it says you cannot give back the slave if he ran away. But then the Mepharshim ask on that, but then why is he called Eved? Eved usually refers to a Goyish slave. So you say, it also refers to a Goyish slave that ran away. That's a difference of opinions. See, according to Targum Onkelis, it refers to, Targum Onkelis says over here, you cannot return a Goyish slave.
Yeah.
Even a goy should say, if he ran away from his master, you should let him go. But other mafashim say, no, it refers to a Jewish slave. Okay? Even Evid Kanani of a Jew that ran away, you have to let him, he ran away from Chutzlar Eretz Yisrael, a Jew owned his goyish slave outside of Eretz Yisrael, and now the slave is running to Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to give him back. So there's a lot of... Now, what does it mean in a deeper sense? Some of Farshim say that what's the connection between these two psukim about going to war with an Eved? So it says because at the time of war, a lot of people tried running away and to become liberated from their masters because it's wartime, everything is a chaos. So then you cannot give them back. You cannot return them back to the master. You have to let them go. Im choyesh bekirbocha, he should live with you. And he says, "B'amokim asher yivcha bay," in the place that Hashem Hashem chose. Okay, ba'achad shorecha, in one of your gates, ba'tevlei, which is beneficial for him to be in now. Le'isenanu, you should not taunt him and you should not give him back. Okay, so basically, the Torah says if a slave runs away from his master, The B'chal in all times it applies. You're not allowed to give the slave back to the master. Whether it's a Jewish slave owned by a Goy, or a Goyish slave, like Unkle says, a Goyish slave ran away from a Goyish master, in both cases you don't give him back. Okay, let him be with you. Why? So he says, what's the remez of it? That, be careful, he says, what it means is be careful from the foreign thoughts, because that will cause you to lose the war. In your own Yetzirah war, evil thoughts will cause you to sin.
Rabbi, I have two questions about this.
Yeah.
Are we going to have slavery again in the Shia times?
Possible.
Nobody's going to steal it.
And number two,
nobody.
In other words, like this. The slavery concept will exist. The practical level of slavery won't exist. Of a Jewish slave. Because there's only two ways a Jew can become a slave. Either he stole, had no money to pay it back. Mm-hmm. Correct? And Bezin sold him to pay back the money.
What?
Or, he was so poor, he couldn't
afford
himself. He couldn't afford himself. So then he was sold as a slave because then the guy took care of him. Those are the only two cases when a Jew is allowed to sell himself as a slave. That's the only two cases. Mashiach comes. Nobody's going to be stealing. And nobody's going to be able not to have money. Everybody's going to be wealthy. Or peaceful. Everybody will be... So, conceptually, Avadim will exist again. Because everything's going back to the way it was. Karbanis and everything. Kiddush HaChedesh, we're not going to use the calendars anymore. We're going to go by the testimony of the witnesses that Rambam writes. Everything's going to go back to the way it was. But just in a practical sense, it's not going to be. The same question you have, in history until now, there are 6 Ari Miklat, 6 cities of refuge if somebody killed somebody accidentally. Then the Torah says, Vim Yarchiv Hashem as Gvulcha, when Hashem will broaden your country, and as Gemara says, Rambam brings it down, that only refers to Mashiach, when the land of Israel will be bigger, Keini, Knizin, Kadmeini. So then it says you need another 3 Ari Miklat. So it'll be 9. So all the Mefarshim ask, if the purpose of Ari Miklat is that somebody to kill somebody accidentally, they're going to run city refuge, when Mashiach comes, it's not going to be. There's not going to be evil. There's not going to be even accidental killing. So what is the purpose? Not only the 6, and even be 9. So there's a number of answers. Some of us say, the fact that there's Ari Miklat, that itself spiritually stops the accidental murders from happening. So in other words, that's going to be that level of Ari Miklat that's going to stop. And the Rebbe also explains that other Rishonim write that for those people that killed accidentally in Golus, so Mashiach comes, I think they're going to have to go to the city of refuge. Whatever. But again, there is the physical halacha of it. Okay, and then you have the spiritual aspect of it. The Gemara says, Divrei Torah Kolten. Torah is a city of refuge. Okay, there's a city of refuge. Torah is a city of refuge.
What if you don't understand?
There's no thing as not understanding Torah today. Everything's understood. You can get English, any language you want. But the concept is Torah protects the Jew. So it doesn't have to be for accidental killing of a human being. It could be an accidental sin that you killed yourself spiritually, accidentally, and then you're going to run to the city of refuge, and that's going to be on a higher level. So even though there might not be murder in those days, accidental murder also not, but there will be a lacking of levels, that you're not on the level you should be. It's not that you're doing bad, it may not be on the spiritual level. So Torah will protect you, Torah is the wall.
Upgrade you.
You get free upgrades. It's the same thing with Eved Ivri. The whole concept of Eved, there's a physical halacha of the Eved, 6 years and this, and but then you have the spiritual level of a Jew being Hashem's Eved.
So
now the halachas will exist
He's not happy.
Even though it doesn't apply physically, but the Torah will be existing on a higher level. Just take, for instance, they learn Torah in Gan Eden. That's what they do their whole day. They have nothing else to do. Nothing. They're bored. They have nothing else. So they learn. So, what does it say in two classic examples that the Chassidus gives of how they learn Torah in Gan Eden? Yeah? There's a Mishnah, Shnayim Eichsim Betalis. Famous Mishnah. All the kids know this Mishnah. Two people holding on to a talis. Yeah? Simply means two people come to court, Besdin. They're holding on to the garment. This guy says, I found it. This guy says, I found it. This guy says, it's all mine. This guy says, it's all mine. Okay? So the Mishnah discusses, this one swears that at least half is mine. This one swears at least half is mine. And that court is 50-50. Either sells it, whatever it is. Yeah? Or there's another law. In the Mishnah, Bava Kama says like this. A guy exchanges a donkey for a cow. A machlef part of a chamor. The case in the Mishnah, very famous case. A guy is a donkey, a guy is a cow. They exchange it. Then they go out to the cow, they see there's a baby calf there. Now the question is, who does the calf belong to? Because if it was before the exchange, then it belongs to the original owner of the calf. If it was after the exchange, it belongs to the new owner of the cow. Correct? So there's a whole mission what you do over there. So how do they learn that in Gan Eden? There's no talis, there's no potter, there's no chamor, there's no axe, there's no donkey. I mean, like, what are you learning over there? So Chassidus explains like this. And this shows that all the things, you can have it in the physical sense, and then you can have it in the spiritual sense. Talis is what surrounds the body. That refers to a mitzvah. Mitzvah are called garments. Torah is called food. Torah you digest internally. You have to understand it in your brain. That's called food. Lechem. Teiroscha, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Teiroscha b'seich me'oi, your Torah is in my stomach. You have to digest it. That's food. Mitzvah is like an encompassing level. So what means over there, how do they learn the mission over there? Shnayim Eichzim B'talis means two neshamas are fighting over a mitzvah. This one said, I did it. And this one said, no, I did it. This one said, the mitzvah is all mine. This one says, the mitzvah is all mine. So they can't learn, in Gan Eden, they can't learn a mission about a physical talis or a garment or a shmata, whatever, because it doesn't exist there. How do they learn the mission? The mission says exchanging a cow for a donkey. Yeah? So there's a Yetzer Hara that's called a chamor. There's a Yetzer Hara that's called a cow. Chamor, the Gemara says, even chamor betkuf is tamas kridali. A donkey, even in Tammuz, in the summer month when it's boiling hot, he's always cold. A donkey's always cold, the Gemara says. And then you have a cow. Yeah? So you have a Yetzer Hara of a guy, is like a donkey, he's cold. Yeah? Then you have a cow, whatever, you know. So you have this Yetzer Hara and this Yetzer Hara. So everything is learned. It's the same concept, even though the physical application of it will not apply. So there will be dinim of avadim, but not in a practical sense, because they won't be.
My other question is, when we think of slavery, like in the American sense, or the fact that, unfortunately, as Jewish people were sold as slaves, right, from that after Babylonia, that was not a good kind of slavery, right? Versus our slavery was like a, it was like a good system. It was a fair system. So
not only that, Torah slavery, you had to treat the slave better than you treated yourself. In fact, the Gemara says, Hakaina Eved, the Gemara says, Hakaina Eved, Kaina Odoin La'atzmei. If you buy a slave, you're buying really a master. Because you have to treat him better than you treat yourself. So basically, a Jewish slave in Torah was basically a worker that was bound by contract for 6 years, day and night. That's all it was. It wasn't slavery like yes, you know. Even a non-Jewish slave had to be treated very, very well.
So that's true then in a certain sense.
Yeah.
Our slavery is not what we consider in the...
Correct.
When you think of a slavery days in America even or whatever.
Correct. Correct. Much different.